This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown, presented by the Sportscast. Today is May 10th. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you want, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, Play Sportscast. You can also visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter, thesportscast1, and check out our app, The Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Good evening. My name is Alan West. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. I'm here with Bob Alves. How are we doing tonight, sir?
What's up, man?
Not much. Apologize. It's taking us a little bit longer to get on. My computer is acting special today, and, well, can't break it because, well, computers, you know, aren't cheap, so I just have to roll with the punches. You know how that is sometimes.
Absolutely. We got to do what we got to do, but we'll make it through.
Absolutely. Appreciate you coming on as always. So before we get into the main part about sports, I wanted to hit a few things real quick. First of all, congratulations to LeBron's son, Bronny, and then I saw Dennis Rodman's son. They both committed to USC basketball. We're going to see how that goes. Congrats to them. Coach K has decided to upgrade from college basketball into the NBA, which I thought that was kind of interesting. What did you think about that?
You know, I mean, I think it's good that everybody can get a paycheck. I just don't know how much Coach K will be doing and what the role will be. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, anything to improve basketball, I think, is a good thing for any coach.
That is very true. And, I mean, that's the best answer I could have hoped to hear for it. I mean, wish him nothing but the best. Also, speaking of the NBA, James Harden, I believe it was two playoff games ago, he gave his shoes to the Michigan State shooting victim who went to the game. I don't remember the person's name, but he was the one who he got shot in the back, so he was paralyzed, but he was able to go to the playoff game, and Harden gave his shoes, which I thought that was a big moment after the game, because he actually gave him the shoes before he did the interview.
Wow.
Yeah, post-game interview. So, I mean, James Harden, a lot of people sometimes look at him in not the most positive way, but for him doing that, I thought that was something that was really special. And big props to him for that. On the other side of things, though, unfortunately, Bob Huggins decided to make some comments that weren't as good, and because of that, he's going to be losing $1 million this year, and we'll see what happens. I respect him as a coach, but sometimes when he's talking, he can go a little too far. Is that fair to say, Bob?
You know, I think we all need to realize that we live in a different world now, and things that you could have said, and I'm not excusing it, but things that you could have said 30 years ago, 20 years ago, heck, even 10 years ago, you can't say them now. And I mean, you know, if you're with, don't say, anytime you see a phone or anytime you're near a computer or whatever, assume that it's hot. Assume that somebody's recording you.
That is very true. So before we get into about basketball and baseball and softball, I wanted to hit about a few other sports that already had their champions. I saw that UCLA men's volleyball, they just won their 20th championship. So that's pretty impressive to me. They beat Hawaii 3-1.
Think about this. Let's put it in a little perspective. To win 20 straight championships, you essentially won a championship when Alan West was born and you had won championships all the way until Allen West had graduated high school and was in maybe his first or second year of college.
Fair enough, although I don't think that it was 20 in a row, but even still,
okay,
20 in volleyball no matter what, that still is pretty impressive to me.
All right, let me spin it then. You've got a ring for every finger and every toe.
Yes, exactly.
And if for some reason you have an extra finger, extra toe, you're only one away from having the whole body parts covered.
That's true. We'll worry about that another time. Speaking of another California team, I don't know if you watched it this weekend, but they just had the women's beach volleyball last weekend down in Gulf Shores, Alabama. And USC was able to three-peat. Now, Bob, this one actually was three in a row. So for them, that was pretty impressive. I actually was watching some of that, and they had a hard-fought battle to beat UCLA.
Have you ever played volleyball?
I have.
When you play it on the sand, it's a lot tougher than playing it on a court. So anybody that can perform well, whether they're playing a sport or even just running on the sand and can do good things, tip of the hat for me, because it's really tough.
Yes, sir. Now, that is something I thought about as well. So because when I was able to watch and see what was going on, I was like, oh, wow, this is pretty impressive just watching how the different pairs were going and how they gave it their all in every match. So you saw them really just fighting it out. So, and how some teams do like a victory lap after they win. Mm-hmm. USC went out in the water and they celebrated in the water.
Okay.
So that was a pretty nice way for them to enjoy their championship. Of course, Bob, you know, for lacrosse, we just had the brackets come out for the men and the women. So it's championship time for lacrosse first. And then next week we have softball. The super regionals are coming out.
It's really a situation to where you're playing survive in advance. Mm-hmm. Now. And, you know, I mean, I don't think people necessarily make as big of a deal about lacrosse, because I think a lot of people, you know, may not understand it as much. But mm-hmm. I mean, that lacrosse tournament is really hot and heavy, and I'm going to be watching, and you're going to see a lot of good lacrosse, lacrosse.
Well, I mean, I was watching actually the women's Big Ten championship for Northwestern and Maryland, and for a while it looked like it was close, but in the end, I believe Northwestern won by 6 goals over Maryland. I think they've only lost 3 games this year. And so, real quick, I'm going to go through the rankings that we have for the teams. Because we'll do the women first and the men. How does that sound?
As long as you don't make me make picks and make me look like a fool, I'm fine.
I think we'll skip the picks this time, but this way they can know all the different teams that are in it.
Right.
So, lacrosse. For the women, all the games start on May 12th for the first round. You have Johns Hopkins playing UMass. You have James Madison playing Army West Point. And you have Maryland playing Drexel. On the other side, you have Michigan playing Central Michigan. You have Stony Brook playing Penn State. And you have Loyola Maryland playing Fairfield. And for Michigan and Central Michigan, if whoever wins that game goes up against number one seed Northwestern. For Johns Hopkins and UMass, whoever wins that game goes up against the number two seed Syracuse. Down in the lower regions, we have Denver against Southern California, UVA against the University of Albany, Richmond against Marquette, North Carolina against Sacred Heart. And in the afternoon, the other afternoon games, you have Florida the sixth seed against Jacksonville, Mercer against Notre Dame, Penn going against UConn, and the winner of that game goes against the three seed Boston College on the 14th. So basically, the games happen on the 12th. The next round will be on the 14th. And then you have the third round on the 18th, the semifinals on the 26th, and the championship is going to be on the 28th for the women. And I don't know how much you saw for women's lacrosse, Bob, but I was watching some for the Big Ten, and they've been going to town.
You know, if you watch lacrosse at a high level, it is such a skilled game, and you're definitely going to learn or pick up something. So I'm really excited to watch the women's and men's tournament because it's going to be phenomenal across the board.
The one thing that was that I noticed, now correct me if I'm wrong about this for women's lacrosse, okay? But have you ever noticed that after the women score their goals, they always throw their stick down as they celebrate?
I'm sorry, say it one more time. I was thinking.
Okay. So for women's lacrosse, whenever you watch the games, have you ever noticed after the women score a goal, they throw the woman who scores the goal, they throw their stick down so they can celebrate with their teammates and they'll pick their stick up after the fact?
I have not.
I noticed when I was in the Big Ten tournament, so that was just something that was a little bit different to me.
Well, you know, now I'm going to watch for it. I mean, that's going to be the secondary reason why I'm watching the lacrosse is just to see the dropping the stick and going at it.
So, I mean, that was just something that was a little different that I noticed. So I just wanted to see if you noticed that as well. But let's jump into the men's bracket now. So it looks like Delaware and Marist had, I guess you could say, a play-in game. And Delaware defeated Marist 25-10. So they're going to play Duke, number one seed Duke on the 14th. At 5 p.m. you have Cornell against Michigan at 2:30 that day. Cornell's a 5 seed against Michigan. On May 13th at noon, you have number 2 Virginia against Richmond. And you have number 7 Georgetown against Yale. And then the lower seed on the 13th, you have at 2:30, number 3 seed Notre Dame against Utah. At 7:30, you have Maryland going against Army West Point. I believe Maryland's a 4 seed. On the 14th at noon, you have number 6 Johns Hopkins against Bryant. And then you at 7:30, you have number 5 Penn State against Princeton. And then the next round is going to be played on the 21st. The semifinals are on the 27th, and the championship is on May 29th.
Quite the layoff in between rounds. So you've got to wonder if that benefits a certain team or if that benefits maybe, you know, strategy. And it will be really interesting to see.
I mean, yeah, just because you see how round. Whereas here, you get a whole week off to try to prepare and see what you're able to find out and just how you're going to, I guess, suit up and show up.
Yep. The shortest turnaround is between the national semifinal and the national championship, obviously. But prior to that, you do have, I don't want to say long layoffs, but you do have lengthy breaks.
Yes, indeed. And, I was able to get on the NCAA website, and they just announced the Spring Sports Championship schedule. So what I'll do is I'm going to run through it for all of the D1 sports. That way we can keep these on our calendars for them, okay? Some of these have already passed, but for the ones that are still going, we can make sure we hit all of them. So for D1 baseball, they're going to be playing between June 16th and 26th. for D1 men's golf, it's May 26th to 31st. For D1's women's golf, that's May 19th to the 24th. Men's lacrosse is May 27th to the 29th. Women's lacrosse is 26th and 28th. Division I rowing's May 26th to the 28th. Division I softball is June 1st to the 9th. Division I men tennis teams and the individuals is from May 17th to the 27th. For the women, it's the same, May 17th to the 27th. The outdoor track and field is June 7th through the 10th. Men's volleyball is between the 28th to the 30th. Actually, yeah, they were May 4th to May 6th, where UCLA won their 20th. Beach volleyball was last weekend, the 5th to the 7th. This weekend, we have women's water polo as well. So there's definitely a few sports that we don't always talk a whole lot about, but it's good to know that the champions are going to be recognized one way or another. So that's something that we can all appreciate, I think.
Yeah, one thing you got to keep in mind with baseball especially is you don't want to see any upsets in these conference tournaments if you're a team is, like, you know, when we talked about basketball a few months back, when you're a team that's number one in your conference, you, A, need to win that conference tournament. I mean, you know, you look at a school like Liberty around my neck of the woods, the Flames are going to have to probably win the A-Sun. But for those top teams in the conference, you don't want to see a team like Liberty or a quote-unquote bubble team get in there and upset the apple cart, if you will, because if you're getting in that tournament, you better win your conference tournament because you don't want to leave it to chance in the hands of the committee. Now, obviously, your big guns are fine, but the fringe teams are you're going to be sweating.
Well, actually, funny you should mention that. Liberty women, they had to go into overtime for women's lacrosse against Jacksonville. They lost in overtime on a goal that made the Sports Center top 10.
Okay.
So
I don't know that I want to get on the top 10 that way.
Yeah, no, it was unfortunate that happened like that, but it was a plus that they made it to the championship game. It just sucks that that was how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm trying to hydrate so I can get all these tournaments, NCAA tournaments watched, because if I don't, you know me, I'll be out like a light. Gotta hydrate.
And that's why for me, I was looking and I see that for the men's golf championships, they have selected the teams for the regionals. So we're going to have to wait. I think next week we're going to have a better viewpoint for the end of the regionals so that we can go through all of them because, from the May 15th to the 17th for the men's, for the golf. But I was looking at the women's, and they actually have the champion field set. So let me get back to that real quick. Just because...
You know, you talk about all these tournaments while you were looking up. I was going to try to buy you some time, but you look at all these tournaments and a lot of it is, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So for those golf tournaments and those championships, if you have a bad third hole, you don't just throw your clubs in the lake and say, I'm done, because you still got to bounce back on the remaining holes in the tournament. Same thing for a sport like lacrosse, baseball, softball, water polo, whatever it is, you can't let one goal trickle on you because you're playing, you know, in some sports against the clock, in some sports against an innings. So you just can't let one thing knock you down.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I mean, that's why it's curious to see how it goes. And when I was looking at what happened for women's golf, the top five teams and the top individual not on a qualifying team, advanced to the national championship. So for women's golf, they had the regional sets at Athens, Georgia, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, Pullman, Washington, Raleigh, North Carolina, San Antonio, Texas, and Westfield, Indiana. Arizona State's going to be hosting the Women's Golf Championships. And I'm going to go through that in a second. But it's still at, I think that's pretty interesting how you have the top five teams and the top individual not on a qualifying team.
Yep.
In each regional being able to advance the national championship, just because that's something you don't really even think about. Yeah. Or at least I really hadn't when it came to golf. So, I mean, that's, I'd say I appreciate that a little more just because you're able to see not only teams do well, but for individuals that, I guess, played the tournament of their lives more or less when their school didn't.
Right. Now, I did see a thing the other day. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about, so I'll make it short and sweet. But it said, at one point, we were all an amateur. And, you know, none of us are professionals. Obviously, at this point, this is the NCAA tournament, so we're all amateurs. But you've got to think, you know, it's a situation where you can't let your lack of, you know, you can't let the title affect you. I mean, nobody's going to have the word professional on their name tag, but these are very good individuals and very good teams that have earned their way to where they're going.
That's true. So real quick, I'm going to go through the winners for the regionals for the women's, because we'll do that for the men next week. And then, like I said, softball, we'll go through the rankings, but next week we're going to know about the super regionals. And Bob, I think that's where we're going to start to have a lot more fun, sir.
Are you going to make me pick?
Not this week. Next week, we're going to do some picks. Yeah, next week, we're going to do some picks, because for the Super Regionals, just how that is.
Right.
I know how you are about softball, so that's why I will get involved for that next week. Not this week, but for the Athens Regional, the top five teams that advanced were Georgia, South Carolina, San Jose State, Ole Miss, and Augusta. And the individual there was Leon Takagi from Kent State. From Palm Beach, it was Michigan State, Duke, Texas, and Northwestern, and LSU. And the individual was Sarah Byrne from Miami, the U. From the Pullman Regional, you had Stanford, Clemson, Southern California, Baylor, and Texas Tech. The individual there was Tiffany Lee from UC Riverside. From the Raleigh Regional, you had Arizona, NC State, Wake Forest, TCU, and Florida State. The individual there was Dorota Zaluska from Chattanooga. For San Antonio, you had Pepperdine, SMU, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, New Mexico. The individual there was Cameron Carrion from University of Texas, San Antonio. And from the Westfield Regional site, you had Mississippi State, Oregon State, Vanderbilt, Virginia, Tulsa, and the individual that advanced was Isabel McCauley from Minnesota. So you're going to have 30 teams and 6 individuals competing in 54 holes of stroke play. Then you have the top 15 along with the top 9. Competing for an additional day for the top 8 teams for match play and the 72 holes stroke for the individual champion. So,
and again, we were talking about, you know, some people might be stronger in stroke play, some people might be stronger in match play, but you can't get to the match play unless you got to figure out a way to be strong in stroke play for at least 54.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens. It's definitely something that, you and I both need to keep our eyes on. Let's see. So, why don't we jump into baseball now, sir?
I'm ready.
All right. So, I'm going to go straight down the rankings. And from last week, we have a new number one. We have Wake Forest at number one with a record of 39-7. LSU is now number two with the record of 37-10. Arkansas jumped up from number six with a record of 36-12. Stanford jumped up from number seven to number four with a record of 31-13. Vanderbilt stays at number five with a record of 34-13. South Carolina is number six with a record of 36-11. Florida's number seven with a record of 37-12. Coastal Carolina's number eight with a record of 30-16. UConn is number nine with a record of 35-11. Duke is number 10 with a record of 32-13. My University of Miami, the U is 31-16 and number 11. West Virginia's number 12 at 36-12. Campbell's number 13 at the record of 36-10. East Carolina's number 14 with a record of 34-14. Oregon State's number 15 with a record of 33-14. Clemson is number 16 with a record of 31-17, and they were out of the poll last week, and they jumped back in, as was Kentucky with a record of 33-13. Dallas Baptist dropped from number 16 to number 18 with a record of 36-12. Maryland jumped from number 23 to number 19 with a record of 33-16. Boston College is 30-16 at number 20. UVA is number 21 with a record of 37-11. University of Texas San Antonio is number 22 with a record of 36-12. Tennessee dropped from number 18 to number 23 with a record of 32-16. Oregon dropped from number 17 to number 24 with a record of 31-16. And Southern Miss was unranked last week, and they are now number 25 with a record of 32-15. So, for what I'm seeing, Bob, that's telling me that with tournament time coming up, you're having some games where not only are you fighting for the rankings, but when you're losing, now it's making you take a hit right when you don't want to, as you're trying to just get ready for the College World Series.
Yeah, I don't know that the rankings matter as much, to be honest with you, in terms of how you're going to play in the regionals or the super regionals if you make it there. But Alan, you're a sports guy like I am. You want to be playing your best ball at this time. So a lot of it's just about getting in and hoping you get in the right. You hope you get in the right spot. But guess what? You're probably going to have to beat the good teams at some point anyway.
That is so true. So true.
And rankings are important. That's why we're here.
Exactly. Just because we're trying to take a look at how it's going and just seeing how it's going to play out for everybody. Although for a softball, I still think it's going to be hard for any team but Oklahoma to win right now, sir, because they still have only lost one game, and they have basically had a stranglehold on that number one seed all year, even with can't think of her first name. I know her last name is Aho, how she graduated last year, so right. You weren't sure how they were going to do, and some ways it's kind of amazing just to see how it is and just how she is, how the team is still responding and just what they're going to do together. Because you kind of wondered if they were going to reload.
Well, there's always an underdog. And think about it this way. A lot of people didn't think JMU was going to make the run they did in college softball World Series. So, you know, if you're Oklahoma, you can't just take things for granted. And I know they're not. They're not probably wondering what we're saying about them. They should be. But they're probably not, you know, harping on that, because Oklahoma's got to go out and take care of business. I mean, you know, college tournament and the World Series, that's a whole different beast.
That is. Let's see. So, at the moment, Bob, my computer's being a little funny. Are you able to look up the softball rankings real quick for us?
Absolutely will. Give me just 1 second. I'll be happy to.
Yeah. Just because I've been playing a game of tug-of-war with my computer this whole evening, like I told you about a little earlier, which is why we came on a little bit late. So that was...
Sounds like your computer's winning. Let me go over the softball rankings for you.
Unfortunately.
You ready?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
All right. Starting at number one, Oklahoma is number one at a 49-1 record. Followed by UCLA at number two. The Bruins are 50-4. Florida State is number three at 47-8. Tennessee ranks fourth. They are 41-8. Washington moved up from 9-5, 37-11. Stanford sitting at six, 39-12. Texas, 40-12-1 tie. They rank number seven. Oklahoma State at 41-13. They're number eight. UConn copped up from 11-9. They're at 43-9. Clemson dropped from 8-10 at 45-8. Georgia, 39-12 at number 11. Arkansas, 38-16 at number 12. Alabama, roll tide, 38-17 at 13. LSU has 40 wins, 14 losses. They occupy the 14th spot. Auburn's 39-16 at number 15. Baylor, 39-15 at 16. Utah, 34-13 at 17. Oregon, 35-14 at 18. Northwestern, 35-11 at 19. Wichita State, 43-9, they rank 20th. Florida is 35-19 at 21. Virginia Tech, 36-17, the Hokies occupy 22. Texas A&M, 33-18, they stay at 23. Louisiana, 43-13, they stay at 24. And Central Arkansas, 39-9 at 25. Nobody dropped out of the poll last week. Top 10 really kind of stayed similar. Clemson dropped from 8-10. Everybody else stayed in there. Duke popped up from 11-9, and Georgia dropped from 10-11.
Okay, yeah, no, I thought that you said it was Clemson that dropped from 8-10?
Clemson dropped from 8-10.
I believe that they had a three-game series this last weekend. I think that they lost 2 out of 3. I'm not 100% sure. I think that's part of the reason why they dropped.
Yeah, Tigers have been struggling on the scoreboard a lot lately, and Clemson has got to get it together before the NCAA tournament. The ACC tournament started today. Clemson will go at it, I believe, tomorrow in the quarterfinals, I should say. So, yeah, Tigers got to get things going. They will play tomorrow in the ACC tournament, and they will take on North Carolina, and that is in South Bend, Indiana. Clemson, like you mentioned this past week, they were actually swept by Virginia Tech, and they lost to Liberty. So the Tigers have dropped four straight. They did pick up a win. They 2 out of 3 against Virginia Tech and the loss to Liberty. I apologize. But then they've got North Carolina tomorrow at 7:30, and that is in South Bend.
Okay, so for the ACC softball tournaments in South Bend, that's good to know. I do know that Ohio State won today, and one of their players hit a home run, so they were able to face the Rutgers. I was able to check on that a little earlier, and I mean, it's just watching how the games are, and with the selection show being this Sunday,
yep,
along with every other thing that's happening this Sunday, it just... What else is coming next that they're going to kind of put on us to try to take a look at? I'm just waiting to see, because you got the normal holiday that everyone, at least for the U.S., is going to make sure to focus on at least a little bit. So,
right. Mother's Day.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm ready.
Because, I mean, you and me, we both got to make sure we focus on that. And, I have made sure that for the appropriate people, things are taken care of.
Right.
Although, for me and my family, my parents, they'll be celebrating a wedding anniversary, which...
Oh, nice.
It'll be very good for them. So we're looking forward to that. Well, I would say the same for you, unfortunately, but for your dad... been, I think, 2 or 3 years now, unfortunately. Five. I apologize, sir.
That's all right. Yeah, it feels different. You know, some days it feels like it's been a week. Some days it feels like it's been 20 years. Fun fact, I was actually born on Father's Day. So next month, my birthday actually hits on Saturday. Father's Day is the next day. So I feel like Ricky Henderson, who was born on Christmas Day, I kind of feel like Ricky Henderson because I don't get, you know, you can almost double and say, oh, here's your Father's Day. And by the way, it's your birthday gift too. So, you know, kind of get gypped at the gift table, but, you know,
it is what it is. When I was born on Easter, so I do understand your pain. I do understand your pain.
I mean, you know, I often said I should never have to get my dad a Father's Day card or a Father's Day gift because I was the gift back in 1979. So, you know, but we do what we do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, just because I know, because I actually knew your family when I went to, when I was at down in Lynchburg. So that was many good times were had there. But you know, that's something I've thought about for that. And I know that it's never easy, even though it's great to celebrate certain milestones.
Right.
So.
Right.
Just because, well, there's good things that happen. There's bad things that happen. And I hate to bring this up, but seeing that shooting in Allen, Texas on Sunday, or I believe it was Sunday morning.
Yep.
That was a shame that happened. And for that one family, for the six-year-old who's the only survivor for his family, it was his birthday. They were celebrating. So, I guess the best way to say it is we feel for everyone who was in there and thoughts and prayers for that. Part of the reason why I bring it up, since this is a sports show, the Dallas Stars were going to have a viewing party that night. But after the shooting, they said, no, we're not going to do that. So that was, we're just going to have to see how things go. And I hate to say it, but just watching how some of these tournaments are, I worry about when you try to go to certain events that are like how the Super Regionals or College World Series, just because you want to watch the action. And you want to watch how all the different players do well. But you also kind of, it feels like you're going to have to be on your toes wherever you go now and you anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, sports is, it's funny because I think sports can be one of the great uniters that brings us together. But sports can also be such a divider because people get so passionate about their certain teams that it's almost like, you know, I don't know. I want to say it's weird, but you know, it's hard to explain. It's really difficult to explain.
I think I know a way to explain it carefully. For me, I'm an Ohio State fan. My my daughter's mother is a Michigan fan. And so we do not like the same team, obviously, but we can respect the other team as long as they're not playing our team. And I was given last year by my daughter an Ohio State trash can. And her mother was okay with that. So I said, okay. And for her birthday, I got her a shirt that showed the last two victories for Ohio State, or for Michigan over Ohio State. And it had a not as nice word on it that she did not realize, where it said that Michigan, but instead of Michigan, it was spelled a different way.
Right.
To show Michigan's dominance over Ohio State. She did not catch it. Her daughter caught it when she was getting ready to wear it to school, and she had to change. And I got a lovely phone call after that. But you know what? It was still worth it just because being a rival.
Right.
you got to take your shots, but you got to make sure you give them back at times, just because how you and I occasionally go back and forth about Duke.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not the biggest Duke fan. I openly admit that, but I appreciate when they play though, because almost every time when you see Duke in a sport, usually they're contending.
Yep.
Or even if they aren't contending as well, you see them giving their best shot every time and making sure that if they do lose, they make the other team earn it every single game.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm not going to be I'm not going to be wearing a Duke shirt anytime soon. I'm sorry. I know you're very sad about that, but I definitely give them a lot of credit. And that's why, like, for men's lacrosse, I want to see how they do, because with them being the overall number one seed, I think that that's going to be some good games for them, because I think that they're kind of peaking right now at the right time of the year.
Yeah, and I think everybody pulls for the underdog, except once they realize that, hey, if we keep pulling for the underdog is going to be in the final. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I think a lot of people want to see, you know, 1 and 2 or 1 and 3, the best teams in the championship.
Of course, although, as you know, like for lacrosse, there's so much parity there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to be great watching all those games, because we're going to see some of the blue bloods make it, but then we're going to see some of the ones that we expect to make it go down, and we're just like, wow. Because, I mean, even though I guess this is our version of March Madness.
Yep. May Madness.
Exactly. Still
alliterative. Yeah, I looked at it like, you know, when Purdue got beat by Fairleigh Dickinson in this past year's tournament. I mean, you know, take the bracket game out of it. You're not having a bracket in. But at the same time, do you want to see Fairleigh Dickinson and how far they can advance, or do you want to see Purdue in the Final Four? So, I mean, I think that's the way people have to look at this. But, you know, I can't pick one tournament that's going to be the best, because I think they're all going to be key ingredients to the dish.
That's definitely fair. And, I mean, that's why just watching how every tournament shakes out. I think it's more fun that way, just because even though a lot of times you'll have, like, for lacrosse, you'll be able to probably have a perfect bracket a lot easier.
Right.
But it's more fun just trying to watch the games and pick out the best winners. So, I mean, that's why next week, with it being the Super Regionals, how we'll have all the different sites. I think you and I'm not going to make you pick the exact winner, but I'm going to give you here's what we're going to do for the format next week. Okay.
I'm ready.
For softball, I'm going to have you pick two teams you think are going to be the top two teams out of every regional.
Okay.
Okay. So that way you've got a 50% chance of being right, no matter what, who's going to advance after that.
Okay.
Because, well, I like your odds better than mine, but I'm really just excited that we're finally at this point of the year, because even though Omaha's a special place for the men's college world series, I think in some ways it's more competitive for women's softball, just because of how watch the game today. They bring it every time.
You know, I have experts I'm going to go talk to.
I know.
Okay.
I expect you to.
This brain is only so relevant when it comes to sports. So I've got to hit up my experts in the field. Now, they might not know everything about Division I, but they know the game that they play in. So I will I will come prepared next week.
Oh, I know you will. I know you'll be more ready than I will. But you know how I pick a lot of my stuff, right?
Best color?
Well, usually that, or I like the team name. I usually go by that. But I mean, I'll look up some of the information, look at the rankings, and then I'll just go from there. But for me, I know you, and you have multiple experts. That's why I expect you to be able to pick these. But my goal is to hang in there a little bit.
I'll do my best. Now, I mean, the problem with some of my experts is they're an expert a lot about their team. So, like, if I'm my birthday buddy, Millie Thompson's a pitcher at Clemson. If I talk to her father or her mom, Mike or Danielle, I'm going to get, hey, pick Clemson to go all the way. So nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying I get a more of a slanted pick as opposed to if I pick, you know, if I take a random person that I know plays, that I know is a softball fan, I just got to hope they're a Division I softball fan to where they know a little bit about it and have, you know, quote unquote, a dog in the fight.
Well, I mean, I like your odds just because you know how much better your odds are.
I don't know the mathematics, but you can tell me.
I'll make it even simpler, Bob. Your odds for that are better than seeing me actually be living that background in real life on our show.
I don't know. You can plant a tree in the house.
I could plant a tree, but it's trying to make the ocean look like that. So I mean,
that may be that,
exactly. I mean, I have to go down to like South Carolina or somewhere to try to pull something like that off. And well, I'm not planning on doing that anytime soon.
I got you.
That being said, is there anything you can think of for this week in sports we haven't tried to talk about for college wise?
I think we hit on most of it. I mean, there's always something that we can bring up that we probably don't bring up. And, you know, you can hit us up in our various outlets, as I'm sure you'll talk about in a moment. But, you know, there's always something that the Sportscast does such a great job with all their podcasts. But there's always something that somebody's going to want to hear that's not mentioned. So, you know, we can't please everybody 100%.
And I mean, that's fair. And that's why, as you see for us, how I try to make sure that we kind of hit on some of the sports that a lot of people won't always really know about, just because that way you can hear about them and see how they are, because you may not get a whole lot of coverage during the year, but when you become a champion, you deserve to be recognized. That's how I feel about it. So that's why I want to make sure that when I take a look at NCAA.com, I can see which champions are the right ones and get them to do. Like you said, UCLA winning their 20th men's volleyball championship.
Yep.
I mean, that's impressive just because you know how their men's basketball was dominant in the 60s and 70s. So seeing something like that for them,
it's amazing.
That's can't say it any better than that. Although, like you would say, Bob, if someone would make the mistake of trying to find one of us, how would they find you on social media, sir?
You know, they can go to Twitter, The Sports Buffet. They can check out some of my YouTube videos at The Sports Buffet. A lot of it is my interviews from high school, sporting events, Facebook, The Sports Buffet Podcast, or, you know, just send out some smoke signals. I might pick up on them.
That is true. I definitely understand that. For me, you can see me at allen.west.46 on Instagram or Facebook. I need to log back into Twitter again, where it's under Allen F. West. So we're going to see what happens for that. But like I said, I'm looking forward to next week. We'll have the Super Regionals, and we'll be able to see who advances for the men and women for lacrosse. So maybe for the next round, we can look at maybe one pick on those each, just so we can see about if we can see who is going to make it into the next round, just because I think for those, it's going to be very exciting this weekend.
Yep. I can't agree with you anymore.
That and this has been the Top 25 Rundown of the Sportscast. And before we go, want to make sure to wish your mother a happy Mother's Day, sir.
Appreciate that. Ditto.
So,
ditto to you. All the moms out there.
Exactly. We want to make sure we recognize all of them and the great job that they've done and just how they've done for all their kids and what they do for everyone else. So for all them.
So much they do that does not get recognized. You know,
Exactly. No, I mean, that's why we want to make sure they get their due for a second from this show. And we look forward to being on here next week.
Yep.
That is Bob Alvis. I am Alan West. Have a good night, everybody.